the midweek drive, zooming into the future and energized by the now. Author of the Week, featuring another great creator of narratives for the human race on Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio.
So is it what it used to be? That would be nostalgia, that ache, that pain, that aspect of life that Romans were very worried about when it was first identified as a disease, an illness, a sickness that troops who were actually in Britain were suffering from, this ache and longing for the past and so on. Well, it's probably a useful time to actually start talking about this, given that we're in the third decade of the 21st century. And we've got two fabulous folk to actually share their thoughts on nostalgia. Well, it's just sort of the ancient ones, such as myself, who kind of just get too caught up in this whole side of things there. Jessica Burtis, nostalgia. Is it a problematic issue, or is it something which we think, well, you know, people have always looked back, you know, we've just had a pandemic. People were actually looking at how we use the wartime spirit to actually work our way through that, etc. What are your thoughts on this one?
I mean, I think it's super interesting that they kind of considered it to be a disease, because I think we're all pretty familiar with some of the harmful aspects of being too caught up in nostalgia and how it can kind of make us start to miss the present, and it can make us view the past with kind of rosy-tinted glasses, or rose-tinted glasses, where, you know, maybe things weren't quite as good, but now we're kind of wishing we could have something that never was really there. I think part of it, I feel like for me personally, I feel like part of it has to do with how fast we're kind of moving as a society. We're kind of hurtling in all these new directions, especially with how quickly technology has been kind of like exponentially increasing, that I feel like we almost don't have time to appreciate the present and what's happening, because by the next month we're in a pandemic, or something else is going on, or AI is taking over the world. I don't know, you know, so it feels like there isn't as much time to kind of appreciate the now, so then we start to look back on things that we didn't have for very long. But I think, yeah, I think I'm definitely guilty of it at times.
Yeah, what is this world so full of care we have no time to stand and stir? Victoria, I mean, France is often regarded as a laid-back country. Is it a case of no, it's we're so frantic here, we just don't know what we're doing?
No, it's definitely laid back. Actually, I recorded a video for you, and you can see how laid back it is. But nostalgia, I kind of like being nostalgic. It sometimes makes you appreciate the present. When you think, I think there's a lot of things about the internet and that people now won't appreciate, when we had to sit there at the beginning of internet and put it on, wait for the horrible beeping to stop, doing the and then make a cup of tea and then come back and go onto the internet.
I didn't think
so
you were.
It then makes you appreciate the fact that you've already got the internet on your phone.
Yeah, I honestly didn't think you'd be young enough to actually remember those particular days, Victoria. I thought those days of the sort of dial-up connection to the internet would have been way before your time and so on. But
I knew a world without internet.
Well, I mean, wow. I mean, this, I mean, Jessica, do you also echo that? Did you also know a world without the joys of the web?
No, I don't. I still, I mean, my parents didn't let me go on the internet very much as a kid, and not without supervision, but some of my earliest childhood memories are of like wanting a computer in my room, or asking to get on the computer in the living room. And I don't know what it's like to not have internet. Maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I was just looking at celebrations and events we didn't celebrate this year. July 26th, we obviously should have done, because that was actually on July 26th, 2022, when singer-songwriter Victoria Simmons made your debut on the production, together with Sarah Huntley and Tessa Snart, doing a whole range of things from that point of view. We also had Helen Skelton, of course, former BBC Radio 5 live soul on that side of things there. And here we are, bouncing into the second half of 2023 and still actually sort of connecting on that basis. So just goes to show. Jessica, clearly you were the pre-pandemic, the last pre-pandemic soul to actually make your debut on the whole sort of system. I'm going to put a question to you now, which is not necessarily nostalgic, but in terms of countries that are laid back, I mean, Ireland, where you've spent considerable periods of time, that's also fairly laid back, or is that also fairly frantic at times?
I think Dublin tends to be pretty busy, but I think Ireland in general is so laid back. And I think actually when I know I didn't live in England for very long, and it was only in Lincoln, but I feel like it was fairly laid back too. I think in a very nice way. I think that both places have very polite people, and I think especially in Ireland, like, I don't know, there is a quietness to the city that I think is really nice. Even though Dublin has so much frantic energy in it, somehow it coexists with just like this peace. And it's very unlike, I think, say something massive like New York City, where everything moves too fast. I think that maybe it's something about how you can go in any direction and there's always going to be farmland, you know, that just makes everybody just very calm.
Well, that's true. And we're talking about nostalgia, working our way through that process brings us neatly around to our special guest contributor for today's programme. He is indeed a screenwriter, actor, a collector, has put together so many magical things. It's the awesome Gary Jirani. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive, Gary.
Hello there. Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm very impressed to see that almost using laboratory taste routine, you've even got the white lab coat on from that perspective. So are you going to be experimenting in all sorts of ways?
The official lab coat, right. And this is the I actually wore back in 1988 when I played Elias Thorne on the trading cards.
This is authentic. We felt that was important. Because even though it's predominantly radio, you're always aware of those video shoots as well. Now, exciting times, Gary, because you haven't, I don't think, met Jessica. Oh, you might have met Jessica beforehand. I don't think you said
that. Oh, yes.
Yep. You haven't met singer-songwriter Victoria Simmons. But the Card King Chronicles, Volume 1, The 70s, is now available. And indeed, you launched this by basically on your Facebook post saying, for years, nostalgia fans have asked me to provide some kind of definitive list of all the trading card products I worked on, not only for Topps, but also for Upper Deck, Inkworks, Duo Cards, Artbox, and so on. Hundreds of card sets and other collectibles were created. Share with us, this is now available, Card King Chronicles, Volume 1. Was it a labor of love, or were you midway through the process? Did you think, what the heck am I doing this for?
Well, you know, for years and years, people have been asking me to do this. And I remember so much about the different products that I did. But again, there was a lot of stuff that, again, I kind of forgot. So when I jumped into it again, it was like, oh, my God, all these different things. And I said, oh, what a wild and crazy time that we had back at Topps, particularly in the 70s when things were very, very loose. And then things started heating up in the 80s. And then we got really kind of bigger and crazier. And licensing got pretty wild. And we created stuff like, you know, Wacky Packages and Garbage Pail Kids and Mars Attacks and Dinosaurs Attacks. So we had, you know, two identities, really. I mean, part of it was what we created on our own, our original products. And then the other thing was us tying into whatever the biggest movie or the biggest fad happened to be, whether it was, you know, Star Wars or Charlie's Angels or, you know, Pokemon, whatever, you know, whatever was going on at the time. And I was there 9 to 5, you know, starting, what was it, 1972, 73, whenever I started. And it was great. I had a sense of creative freedom there that I never had in anything else I ever did. It was amazing. I learned so much at Topps when it came to just about everything, not only writing and editing, but art directing and designing and storyboarding and all those different things. It was great on the job training. So I think back of all those years, you know, and I was with the company for half a century. I mean, I was doing work for them right up until 2020, you know, and then the COVID hit and everything kind of changed and Topps closed its doors and the company changed. And I was retired anyway. So I finally said enough is enough. And so now I've got my creative memoirs here, and you know, and it's a pretty cool book. You know, it's full color, you know, because I realized you had to have the stuff in color, you know, because that was so much, you know, a part of the experience was our use of color. So at first I thought, well, most of these kind of books are done black and white, whatever. But I said, no, I got to go all the way and have a full color book. So, and in addition to the book, with every book that you order, will come these amazing sketch cards that I've done. I don't know if you can see this or whatever. Here's a whole bunch of them in mass production here. But what I do is, you know, I will simply create these cards, and here they are at different levels of production here. I have like a little suggestion of a sketch here. And two of them come with every book in their own little red envelopes, and they're signed, and they're, you know, original art, sketch art, of course, because I'm not really an illustrator, I'm a conceptual designer. But that's enough to sort of get the idea across, and what the heck, kind of okay, fun little extra.
As indeed, the promotional aspect certainly says it's half a century of creating, writing, and art directing pocket-sized Americana. Jessica, were you familiar with this pocket-sized Americana in the wondrous world of Charlotte, North Carolina?
With trading cards. I personally grew up like loving Pokemon cards, and actually my friend recently went to England and she brought me back some London themed Pokemon cards, which is so cute. Has a little Pikachu as a beef eater. It's so cute. But no, I think trading cards are great. You know, my dad has trading cards he's had since he was a kid, so there's so much love for them.
They really are our pop culture, you know, more than anything else, because, you know, you got really the baseball cards is what most people, you know, think of. But again, the entertainment cards and the fun cards and the funky things and all that loom just as large. You know, when we created fads like Garbage Pail Kids and Wacky Packages, they really, you know, really kind of hit big. So it was, you know, it's fun to be able to make kids happy. You know, when I was a kid, these things meant so much to me. They brightened my day. And I sort of felt, well, okay, if I can do that for other kids out there who kind of need this escape, then I'm doing a good thing. You know, it's the way I looked at it.
And Victoria, did it translate to your own upbringing? Were you a trading card fan? Did you actually appreciate the joys of Tops and indeed Pokemon and so on? Or was it a case of, again, I'm not sure.
No, in France, definitely not. But when I was in England, we didn't have trading cards, but I don't know if you remember, we had the football albums and we had the stickers of the, it's pretty much the same thing, isn't it? We had the stickers to fill in the football album, and we'd share those. So that's as far as I got with trading cards.
That's like Panini and some of those other companies.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Topps actually tied in with Panini and asked me to redesign the sticker album for the American sensibilities. And if memory serves, I think those Panini albums, a lot of them were horizontal. And I know I made them vertical so they can fit on shelves and all of that. And then Topps started doing that kind of work themselves. We turned it over to our division in England. So after I did the original, you know, Gremlins sticker album and a few other things like that, the format had been created, and then they just took it from there. But yeah, you're right. It is a variation of the same kind of thing. As a matter of fact, in a trading card set, you usually get cards and a so even though the card sets don't provide you with an album necessarily, you do get stickers in addition to the card. So part of the experience.
Certainly opens up a whole range of other aspects as well. Now, we started off this piece, Gary, by talking about nostalgia and developing that. And I know that you're a keen and indeed passionate follower of the original series of The Outer Limits. And of course, the whole range of other elements as well. I mean, you produced some fantastic guidebooks over the years, the 100 best fantasy movies, the 100 best science fiction movies, all of which, and of course, fantastic television, goes without saying, serves as a template for our weekly Resonance Rewinds. Is this something that effectively, when we look back at a time like that, and Jessica and Victoria are key parts of Resonance Rewind as well, but they're looking at things through 21st century eyes and with respect to how things have developed. Is there somehow a notion that somehow Hollywood is losing the plot, that it's not producing original material? It should be doing original material rather than revamping and revalidating. I mean, I'm kind of coming across the line. Do you have any thoughts on Disney, of course, which maybe seems to be diving into a whole range of problems because of an attempt to update and gender swap, race swap, do a whole range of things with it, with its key characters?
Well, that's quite a subject you brought up. And it really kind of goes way beyond the kind of fun things that I created for all these years and stuff like that. You know, now we're in an era, which is very, very sad. You know, I mean, there's a lot of anger, a lot of animosity. I would hate to be out there trying to figure out what's going to make kids happy today, only because it's crazy. You know, when I was a kid, the normal world, so to speak, was out there, and what we offered was kind of a fun, flip, crazy kind of alternative to that. But now the normal world, if we talk about the movies that are being made, okay, it's nothing but Marvel heroes, superheroes, and, you know, it's all this kind of stuff that years ago, they were few and far between. So when they came out, they were really special. And we could tie in and do a trading card set on a new Batman movie, which was a big deal, or the first Spider-Man movie, or like the Sam Raimi film, and things of that nature. And there was a sense of, ooh, there's something special here. But now it's all over the place, and people seem to be inherently unhappy. I won't get into the whole sociological reasons for that. But these little diversions still help, but they're not quite enough, you know, and people are still, and they need more, and they're still not quite satisfied, you know. So there's only so much one can do to create a diversion from things that upset us or making our lives less happy maybe than they could be. But hey, what can I say?
Some interesting thoughts though. I mean, Jessica, any thoughts from yourself as a consumer of 21st century culture and so on?
I mean, I think like part of pop culture today is it just moves so quickly, kind of like how with nostalgia, like I was mentioning, like things just move fast now and people always want something new and something more. And I think that's had a massive impact on companies and how people who make products and different like media are trying to keep up with demand. And I think we're seeing a lot with like the strikes and streaming and how all of that works. It's just so different now, I feel like, than 10 years ago.
Yeah. Even well, before COVID hit, you know, and the world seemed to change. Prior to that, you know, movies were still being made where there was a sense of all people being able to enjoy them. Now things are, everybody's kind of in their own place. The other important factor here is that it's hard to create anything new, because things that are created, new things that are created for today's world don't have the power of the things that had been created when people were happier, which is why the companies are always going back to pre-existing concepts and properties and whatever, because it reminds people of, you know, years ago when things did make an impact. It's very, very, very tough now to do anything new. That's why you'll have one of the big movies, you know, like Barbie, or, I mean, they're all attached to things created during an era when people had more optimism. So, yeah, I mean, one of my various careers, I mean, I kind of do anything I can do that they let me get away with, of course, is being a screenwriter. And, you know, years ago, I co-created Pumpkinhead, this great monster character. And But today, I mean, I'm out of the loop doing that. It's been a few years since, actually, I did that John Travolta racing car movie back in 2019. That was the last thing I was involved with. But it's hard to create anything new, a new property. Even my other screenwriter friends, when I talk to them, all they're really saying is, man, we got to tie into existing IPs, existing properties, and then just try to do a spin on that because nobody trusts anything new. So it's kind of depressing. And we're better off talking about nostalgia and the past at the moment.
I mean,
like
certainly
a wonderful Invaders from Mars image behind you, of course, which is fantastic. Yeah, well,
I thought it was important to actually sort of acknowledge that by at least from the theatre of the mind putting on the Invaders from Mars image that's actually there. I mean, Victoria, you won't have seen, I don't presume you haven't seen the latest Blue Beetle, but I mean, Blue Beetle was something which some critics have said it's fantastic. Others have said, well, it's just copying and pasting the traditional formula. What are your thoughts on what Gary's been sharing with us? And if you unmute yourself, we'll be able to hear you in full.
Sorry. I know the idea of everybody moving so quickly and wanting so much and so much, but there seems to be a need for us to make people stop and say, you're not allowed this anymore, and we're going to make you wait for it. We're not going to give it to you. We're going to simplify it, and you just have to deal with it. And you have to wait, because we're not going to do it. Here, and it's not going to be something that you can just stream and binge watch. We're going to make you do it like we did in the 70s and only let you have it once a week.
Is that a fair point, Gary, or has the genie been let out of the bottle?
I don't know if we can really go back, you know. I mean, I mean, obviously, the further back you go, the more magical it seems, because things were simpler and we only had certain choices. So what we had, the classic example everybody gives here in the States was the famous movie The Wizard of Oz would be shown once a year on TV. It was an event that as kids we all waited for or whatever. Well, then technology changes. Home video is created. Anybody can buy The Wizard of Oz and watch it anytime they want, which is great, because if you want to experience that creative experience, well, push a button and there it is. But of course, what we're talking about here is what made it so special. That is gone because things got more complicated. Technology developed. Now, talk about technology. You talk about the AI technology. A friend of mine just sent me a script he wrote the other day, and he asked me to react to it. And I said, this is really quite good. I'm very, very impressed with your dialogue here. He says, guess what? It's all AI. I just plugged it in. And I said, oh, my God. I mean, you're not going to be able to know the difference. I mean, I don't think they may never be able to get away with creating synthetic actors the same way that people complain about CGI looking synthetic and not quite real, you know, whatever. But I would never have known in a million years if that was written by a robot or a human being, you know. So here's technology, folks. You know, a few manufactured typewriters in the world of computers came in. All of a sudden your business was done. If you were the guy that invented liquid paper, you were a millionaire for a number of years, and now you can't give that stuff away. So I don't know what the answer to that one is, my friends.
Well, personally, I don't think they'll ever replace, say, midweek drive synthespians, as they're referred to in terms of synthetic actors. So I think
I just realized we have quite an interesting little.
it's all part of the rich tapestry, really. I mean, Gary, if you could actually step into the reality of any of the fantastic series you've looked at, whether it be Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, whether it be The Outer Limits, whether it be The Twilight Zone, which particular episode would you actually personally, or indeed series, would you actually like to be part of, given that actually the whole question about AI is something which certainly Black Mirror and lots of Twilight Zone episodes has related to how we relate to the unknown, the mm-hmm. machine. Arguably, Pinocchio was the first question of a mm-hmm. child mm-hmm. wanting to become, an artificial form wanting to be human.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you're asking which show would I like to be a part of, it's sort of like if you're going to be a part of the Twilight Zone, do you want to be part of the fun, happier episodes, or do you want to be, you know, William Shatner on the plane looking at a gremlin? So it really depends on where you want to be. The Outer Limits is probably my that's pretty cool. Hello, Kitty. The world of the Outer Limits, which was this wonderful film noir kind of sci-fi dark world, definitely brings a lot of pleasure to me. To be a part of that world, being pursued by scary monsters, I'm not quite sure. I might prefer being part of the world of Star Trek, where you're supposedly, you know, on this ship with all your friends or all people that your colleagues. And you're exploring the great unknown. There might be some scary things out there, but so I don't know. Yeah, maybe I should just say I dream of genie, so I can have a beautiful genie around to serve all of my needs, make me a millionaire if I want, you know, whatever. I mean, they never quite went into that direction in the series, but or Bewitched. I'd love to marry a beautiful witch who could also, you know, make my life very happy. Well, what are you going to do?
Okay, Victoria, questions for Gary, please.
And you broke up.
Questions for Gary from yourself, Victoria, in the south of France.
Oh.
Completely silent. The shock. It's the shock of the whole thing. Let's turn to Jessica. Jessica. Pick up the banner as a fellow American from East Coast to West Coast, from North Carolina to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm actually really curious about what some of the first trading cards that really like made you so passionate about it were. Was it the Major League Baseball cards as a kid?
Well, here's the story, which of course you can read about when you buy the book, but I will give you a little piece of that. I got my job through the Monster Times. The Monster Times was a monster magazine, like Famous Monsters of Filmland, except it wasn't a magazine. It was printed in newspaper tabloid form, but it was basically that kind of thing. And when I was a kid growing up, Famous Monsters of Filmland was like, you know, all of us monster movie geeks love that magazine. So all of a sudden, now I'm getting a little older. It's like 1969, 1970. I'm still in high school. I'm about to graduate. And this publication comes out of nowhere called the Monster Times. And I went over there and I got my first writing assignment there, which was the Confessions of the Creature from the Black Lagoon. I got to become the creature and talk about my whole adventures, you know, in the Amazon for 200 million years. And then Hollywood discovered me. And it was a very funny article. As a result of that funny article, I get a call from Topps. And Topps, of course, was in the their whole thing was to create humor products and gags and all those kind of funny things. So they saw I was good with the humor and with the monsters. And they had a new movie monster trading card set coming out called Creature Features. So they said, would you like to come down and write some gags for us? So I said, well, sure, that should be fine. I was used to writing funny stuff with monsters. And I came down there. And well, the rest is history. It was very enjoyable work, very kind of easy, kind of goofy kind of stuff. But I realized, oh my goodness, you know, they generate all these different types of products. And fine. So they liked my work. They kept saying, we'll give you this, we'll give you that. And then finally, you know, they just hired me as their regular copywriter and editor and whatever for all this stuff. My area of my specialty, in a sense, was the movie and television tie-ins. I mean, I was 100% on top of all of those. I was the guy who did that. But they had me doing just about anything else. You know, if you're there 9 to 5, they're not going to have you sitting there twiddling your thumbs. They're going to make sure you're creatively engaged doing something. But like I said, I learned how to do everything. You know, I mean, I never really guessed that I would be doing storyboards for commercials, which they had me do. It was like an incredible. Also, some of the people there were amazing people from the past. People like Ben Solomon, our art director, worked on the Fleischer Superman cartoons, as did Woody Gelman, and the Popeye cartoons, you know, the stuff from the 30s and 40s. And during a meeting, sometimes I'd see Ben drawing a little Popeye in the corner or something and winking at me, you know. So it was amazing to work with people who had created so many of the things that you grew up with in the golden age of Hollywood, stuff you saw on TV as a kid. And just to be part of that was really amazing. Also, we would have these creative sessions where all these wonderful creative people like Art Spiegelman, who created Mouse, won a Pulitzer Prize for that, who contributed wacky, humorous things. And we'd all get together and throw ideas around, spitball ideas. So it was really, you know, I don't know anyone who was, you know, who was a part of that. When they look back now, we all say this was the happiest time of our lives. We were young and we had this incredible freedom, and what we were doing was just fun stuff. So there you have it. Got my job through the Monster Times. That's where this started.
And Victoria, have you now managed to articulate a question and a thought? It's the heat, obviously, that leads you to unmute yourself. Unmute, Victoria. Unmute. Otherwise, it'll be take your hands off me in all sorts of other areas.
It is difficult. It's the heat. I have a fan going.
You don't realize what the temperature is like in France at present, Gary. Honestly, you Californians, you just don't know. It's all mild by comparison.
They have air conditioning. I don't have air conditioning.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry to hear that. Yikes. Oh, I couldn't live with that.
I can see, like, Jessica's sitting there in the room saying, it's really hot outside and you've got long sleeves on. And I don't know. Yeah, but it's not quite as hot here and I don't have any air conditioning. I'm very hot and hoping I have ice cream for dinner.
Well, hopefully you can get through this and survive. You know?
Absolutely. The Card King Chronicles, is it available across the globe, Gary? Can people actually access this in France,
yes,
in Britain?
Yes, it is. We'll see if this can come through. Here's the website address. Okay. And you could go on that website. Hopefully that's coming through.
If you hold that up there for a few seconds, I'll make sure that we actually have a full screenshot, which we can indeed actually add to the joys of the actual piece as well. And that's fine. It's www.fantasticpress.store. Mm-hmm. I do. That's wonderful in terms of that. So there we are. Yeah, it's all done. Yeah. You can relax now, Gary. It's all been sorted.
Great. And that was like a last minute thought. I said, well, let me print out the website, you know, so I could just show it, you know, exactly. Whatever, rather than trying to say it, all those W's and things.
Exactly.
So yeah, there you go.
It's nostalgia for the days when we used to put in HTTP as well, :// hypertext
right.
All those times, which, as Victoria was saying, when we came in, that sort of nostalgia for the dial-up sound of the internet, when it was nice and slow and worked our way through that. So as you await your ice cream, Victoria.
It did make me learn how to create a website using codes.
There you go.
Because that's my dad was doing at the time.
Would you like to put those
Interesting you mentioned that, because it was such a pain in the neck getting this website up and going there. I'm so glad it's finally done. Well, it's been doing me some good. You know, I'm getting some orders. What the heck, you know?
Gary, but it's
been about, what was it, about 2 weeks since the thing came out, or less. So this is all what we're doing today is typical of kind of some of the promotion I've been trying to do for, just to let people know it's out there. I mean, I get a smattering of posts on Facebook with the other, you know, the kind of pages and groups that are interested in this sort of thing. But yeah, I want to continue to grow. Now, there's a trading card convention coming up in Philadelphia in October, which it seems like I'll be going to, and that should be a big deal. That'll be good publicity for it. Maybe I could sell a whole ton of books there, hopefully. We'll see.
Well, Gary, it's been awesome because the world's a better place for actually knowing that Volume 1 of the Card King Chronicles is now at and about and is actually released from that particular perspective. Victoria, would you like to put at least one of those last two questions to Gary Girani at present, please?
Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Oh, this has been charming. No, it's great. I always enjoy this stuff because it always happens with people who are into this kind of thing. And so it's just sort of sitting back and saying, hey, you know, I love this and you love that. And, you know, it's all kind of related.
And North Carolina Pokemon fan Jessica Burtis, the second question, of course, for Gary is?
Yes, will you be coming back soon?
Oh, gee, sure. Anytime you invite me in, I'll, you know. Well, I'm usually just hanging out here anyway, so, you know, it's always fun.
Well, it's time you returned to Resonance Rewind, Gary. I'm sure you'll be pleased to know that we head back into the joys of The Prisoner shortly with Free For All as an attempt to actually sort of open up a whole range of other factors as well. That'll be following the wonderment of Michael Caine in The Ibcrest File, one of those borderline sci-fi sci-fi scenarios. Gary, it's been awesome connecting with the good self as ever. Gary Girani, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on. Likewise, Victoria Simmons and Jessica Burtis. And keep on collecting and stay optimistic.
All right. Take care.
Well, the day of results, of course. We've had the season of results, GCSEs, A-levels, all of those aspects coming to play. And indeed, what about where do we go to after those results? Is it university? Is it pursuing entrepreneurship and so on? 8 in 10 school pupils actually believe that teachers inspire them to pursue their favourite subjects in school, with only 1 in 3 older pupils then saying that they feel confident that they can achieve their dream job. So how do we square that circle then? Well, we're delighted to actually welcome to the program today to discuss the way in which teachers can have a huge influence in terms of where the career pathways of our children actually go. The head of school partnerships from Teach First, it's Michael Potter. How are you, Michael?
I'm very well, thank you. Hi, Alex. First off, just to echo your sentiments there, a huge congratulations to all young people opening those envelopes on Thursday morning to find out their grades. A lot of hard work from pupils, from parents, from staff in schools up and down the country have gone into ensuring that young people get the results that they want on those bits of paper. You referenced there that 33% of young people don't feel optimistic about their job prospects for the future. Our research, where we surveyed 4,000 young people about their future career plans and aspirations, revealed that actually at the start of secondary school, that figure's far higher at around about 93% of young people feeling really confident about achieving their dream job. But as you note, by the end of secondary school, that figure's dropped all the way down to only around a third of young people being optimistic. The reasons that young people give for this is they don't feel clever enough. They don't know how to get the job that they want. And what's most disheartening about our research is that those from the poorest backgrounds are twice as likely to feel unoptimistic about their future career options. At Teach First, we know that the best way to tackle this is through great teachers and quality careers education. And that's why we're calling for more funding for careers education and an improved offer from primary school all the way up to secondary school too.
We still hear various nightmare scenarios where people have an interview with the school careers person and they say, well, bank or post office or equivalent to that point of view, maybe not quite to that extent. But, you know, that whole notion of the hard knock life, and you said that children losing confidence in their abilities to effectively succeed and develop. I mean, obviously, we need to have this balance between realism and optimism, but optimism is so important. I mean, why is it that we kind of lose that optimism? Is it just a case of, you know, we're just exhausted by the whole life process?
Yeah, good question. I would say for this cohort of young people, the pandemic obviously massively disrupted their time in high school. Their last full year in secondary school, their last like undisrupted year was in year 7, and then they went into various lockdowns when they were in year 8, year 9. So I think that's obviously played had a huge impact on the young people currently opening their results.
I mean, there are lots of challenges in any case, and we know that teachers themselves have lots of challenges in terms of even dealing with the pressure, etc. But that whole notion of actually being somebody who inspires, working through the process and connecting within that, presumably that's something which would teach first. You're very keen to ensure that is there. Not that it's basically you're looking for a charismatic approach totally, but you do need to keep the balance between effective professionalism and indeed somebody who, in the classic words of Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society, actually gets people inspired.
Absolutely. We believe that teachers should look like their classes of pupils in front of them. We believe that teachers of a silver bullet who not only have the power to improve outcomes for young people, but also have an opportunity to improve their aspirations and rid them of doubts that they might have about the future. And that's why at Teach First, we offer a range of different routes for careers changes, for graduates, for people already working in schools to train to teach so that they can be that inspiration to young people who they teach and work with day in, day out in schools.
From a personal point of view, Michael, had you always intended to become head of school partnerships at Teach First? Or was it a case of, well, unfortunately, my dream to actually become a leading footballer for England and other international caps avoided me?
My family would howl at the notion of me being a professional footballer. Unfortunately, sporting talent is something I'm completely bereft of. But I always knew that I wanted to work in education, probably inspired by the teachers who taught me. So I spent almost 10 years working in various different roles, in various different support roles in secondary schools across Greater Manchester. And then the opportunity came up to work across the north as a partnership manager working with schools to solve a bigger problem, arguably, in relation to teacher recruitment and retention. So I've been working with Teach First for the past 2 years, supporting teachers into the profession, schools to recruit great teachers, leaders to develop through our whole array of different programs that we offered at schools.
Well, just as long as you follow the dream, I'd hate to think that Pep Guardiola had missed out on a key part of the city side just because he'd been uninspired at school. So that's nice, as long as you follow the dream in terms of teaching. Okay, Michael, let's talk a little bit more about how people can find out more information about Teach First.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who don't know us, Teach First is an educational charity which supports schools and communities facing the biggest challenges. We work specifically with schools in the most disadvantaged areas, and we support teachers at all stages of their careers and schools at all stages of their development to improve. And you can find out more about our work at teachfirst.org.uk.
And actually, on a slightly tangential point, if we're talking about pupils who may well have been inspired by the recent World Cup in Australia, of course, they're thinking about a career in sports, etc. Presumably, it's equally important that teachers will actually help develop that dream as well. I mean, I cited City as an example because they do have a teaching academy within that. Presumably, you're keen to obviously continue to develop that and ensure that, you know, this circle, as we said at the start, can be sorted out and there is a natural progression, and people, and our children in particular, feel supported throughout their careers.
Absolutely. Whether you want to be the next lioness or whether you want to go and be a doctor or an accountant, we should be providing quality careers education that ensures that young people know exactly what steps they need to take to get into that job or into that profession. That's why at Teach First, we're calling for careers education from primary school all the way up through to secondary school. We're calling on businesses to provide more work experience opportunities for young people. And that's why Teach First puts such an emphasis and provides training to colleagues to ensure that they have a thorough understanding about careers and are able to introduce a strong careers education curriculum into their schools.
Michael Potter, Teach First Head of School Partnerships, huge thanks, and keep on inspiring, Michael.
Thanks, Alex. Have a good day.
Well, as we've said, it's always important when you actually had success to actually celebrate that success. And we're going to celebrate a few more successes in a few moments, I've no doubt. Because, of course, with the exam season coming to the end for this particular year, with, of course, the results actually in place, there are a number of ways in which people have actually taken those particular examinations, etc. Indeed, our next guest is somebody who actually was part of a pilot project to deal with home invigilation. It's part of our ongoing line with King's Inter High, of course, from Lincolnshire. We're delighted to welcome the fabulous Amelia. How are you, Amelia?
Hi, I'm okay.
Excellent. Okay. So now, is this the moment? Have you actually opened your results, or are you going to open the results now on air?
I haven't opened them yet. We were going to open them after, but I can ask my mom to bring up the results.
Well, it's entirely up to yourself. I mean, either way, you know, we don't want to add any particular pressure on this. But first of all, would you like to just share with us this whole notion of taking your exams at home and home invigilation? Why did you actually opt for that particular route?
I opted to do my exams at home partially to reduce anxiety, so I could be in an environment that I'm used to and that I'm comfortable with during my exams, since I have anxiety and I struggle with being in new environments with new people sometimes. So it gave me the ability to perform to the best of my abilities. Without having to worry about my performance being dampened by just stresses and anxiety. And also just because going to an exam hall would take like an hour, and I'd have to wake up early and I'd be tired.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I know the feeling now. Historically, 82% of students actually find results day stressful. No surprise there. Anxiety, anticipation anxiety is actually there. All of those aspects are into place. I mean, in a sense, no matter how many times people say, don't worry, it'll all be okay, that doesn't really help, does it? I mean, how have you kind of coped with this build-up to the end of August?
I've just, you know, focused on the fact that I studied as hard as I could, and I performed to the best of my abilities, and I've always started studying for my A-levels.
Well, this is it, of course. I mean, again, this is another step from that perspective. I mean, again, in terms of that whole side of things, I mean, you could say, with technology being what it was, actually one of the bonuses of the pandemics was it actually enabled study from home to actually be much more pragmatic. I mean, what advice would you give to somebody who might be a younger version of yourself, Amelia, who is a little bit anxious about all of the sort of issues, etc.? How can King's Inter High effectively provide something which can allow you to study your own personal interests in depth and actually still appreciate the joy of learning?
Mm-hmm. I would recommend King's Inter High. It's, when I was in a physical school, I definitely experienced a lot more stress and anxiety, and I think that nurtured my own academic, you know, interest in my own development of enjoying learning. But being able to go be at home and select the classes that I wanted to and watch them on my own time, on my own schedule. The lessons are all recorded, which means that even if you have to miss a lesson, you still have access to that content. You don't just miss it like you would in a physical school. And that allows you to feel a lot less worried or stressed about if you have any health complications or whatnot that make you miss a lot of classes. And you have a lot more free time in between lessons. You are at home. You don't have to, you know, be walking around the halls of a school to, you know, pursue just your own individual interests or passion projects.
And I'm interested in this invigilation scheme. I mean, was it just a case of your parents became invigilators? How did it actually work? Because obviously there is that sense in an exam hall, you have teachers marching up and down, observing all the rest of the bits and pieces. How did it work remotely?
Remotely, we had someone watching live. We showed them the entire room that I was in, the ceiling, the walls, under the desk, whatnot. Gotten my results.
That's all right. We'll hold it in a few seconds.
Unfortunately, they recorded. They looked inside our ears, everything. And then we had two cameras set up with live feed of me taking the exam. One recording of me, and so there was being watched live the entire time.
Okay, well, as you've just said, we've had a gentleman who's wearing a very fetching Marvel T-shirt, I think, or a shirt actually. It's obviously a superhero. Basically passing over the results to yourself, Amelia. So I think we're going to go for this particular thing. Now, are you ready? Would you like to officially open the results now? Good luck. Our fingers are crossed here in the Siren Radio Studios for you. We want Lincolnshire to succeed here. So here we go.
Okay, we got my results in. Maths, grade 8, English and 9, biology and 8, physics and 8. Unless I've been handing it.
Congratulations. I mean, a huge congratulations there. So top of the scale. I'm, of course, of the generation, as I'm sure your parents would be, where I think, grade 8, grade 9, that sounds very
okay,
good.
Okay, so the equivalent is that 9 is the highest it can be, 7 is equal to an A, 8 is equal to an A star, 9 is equal to an A star star. So I pretty much crushed it.
Fantastic stuff. And
as well as
so,
we could.
I mean, obviously, you're going to celebrate over this, but yeah. Inevitably, there's that question, where now? Is it A-levels? Is it baccalaureate? So where is Amelia going to head off to now?
I'm going to be studying my A-levels at King's Inter High.
And can you share with us what those A-levels are going to be?
I'll be doing 4 A-levels, mathematics, further mathematics, law and politics.
Excellent. So not only will you be legally equipped to actually deal with number crunching, you'll actually sort of have those number crunching side of things as well with politics as well. I suspect probably a future prime minister in place. I mean, I know it's a long way away, but any thoughts in terms of what career you're looking to pursue?
I'm looking to go to university, politics, philosophy, economics, and then doing a conversion course or postgraduate in law, and hopefully going into lawyering, being a barrister.
Yeah, there we are. Or indeed, I say, if you keep the PPE stand going, certainly there are Oxbridge people who've actually become very effective prime ministers. Inevitably, I'd turn around and say, well, don't forget Lincoln. It's a good university as well as Oxbridge and Cambridge. But, you know, I'm just putting it out there. Inevitably, a siren is based at Lincoln. Amelia, it's been awesome connecting with your good self. Huge congratulations once again. You've shared with us some interesting thoughts there, which I'm sure people will pick up on in a whole variety of other bits and pieces. Just one minor thing in terms of when you go through to university, will that be something where you again will need to address the notion if you're faced there with in situ examinations and so on, or will it be a case of, will you cross that bridge when you come to it?
I'll cross it when I come to it, I suppose. We'll see how exams are done. There's been so much change in structure just in the past few years with the pilot, so no way of knowing.
It is the 21st century. Amelia from Lincolnshire, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on and go celebrate, enjoy and be happy.
Thank you.